It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 126 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. And today we're going to be continuing our conversations about X-Wing 2nd Edition by talking about how the TIE Advanced ship has been advancing into 2nd Edition.
Carson and I have been sitting around twiddling our thumbs in anticipation of the X-Wing 2nd Edition launch, which will be having an early release at Gen Con in just over a week. And we cannot contain our excitement.
Absolutely. I mean, Tim will definitely be there at Gen Con. So he's probably more excited than I am. But I am excited to hear from Tim on just how well that Gen Con release does go.
It's definitely an exciting time to be an X-Wing fan. So today we're going to focus in on the TIE Advanced, see how that's progressed into the second edition, and see if it's going to be able to really find its place unlike it could in first. So on its surface, the TIE Advanced in second edition bears a lot of similarities to its kind of TIE X-1 title final form that we saw in first edition, carrying a lot of those features over into the new edition of the game.
Absolutely. The TIE Advanced has been one of those ships that's been around from the very beginning of the game. So its initial design has been pretty interesting, and it's definitely one of those ships that's been adapted on a few times. And it's one of those ships where its design was revisited throughout the course of first edition and upgraded as seen necessary.
In second edition, it bears an identical stat line to what it did in first edition, a forward arc primary weapon value of 2, 3 agility dice, 3 hull, and 2 shields. It's got a similar action bar, but actually is missing one of the actions it had previously.
Right, so it's got the focus, target lock, and barrel roll, but it's missing the evade action. But it does gain a linked action, and then it can focus and then take a red barrel roll action.
And we know that the first edition TIE Advanced had received a pretty substantial upgrade in the Raider expansion pack, where it gained not only the TIE X1 title, which granted it a system slot and reduced the cost of any system by 4 points, it also gained the Advanced Targeting Computer upgrade card, which was a system slot you could throw on your TIE Advanced to add extra critical results on your attack rolls. In second edition, we see basically both of those abilities baked right into the TIE Advanced.
Yeah, and the TIE Advanced comes with the ship ability Advanced Targeting Computer, which is very similar to its first edition version of that upgrade card.
Yeah, the only real change here is that rather than just adding a critical result, you actually just roll an additional attack die, so it's a little less reliable, but you can still always change one of your hit results into a crit result. And we did just have a spoiler article kind of detailing things about the TIE Advanced in 2nd edition, but before we look at those pilots and upgrade cards, we did want to kind of dive into where the TIE Advanced stood in 1st edition, and particularly how it compared to the X-Wing, which was kind of its Rebel equivalent.
Right, so in 1st edition, the Tempest Squadron pilot and the Rookie Squadron pilot both come in at the same point cost of 21 points. And so at the release of the game, these were both the most expensive ship options for both factions, your heavy fighter. And their stat lines were very similar. You know, X-Wing had 5 hit points, TIE Advanced had 5 hit points. It was just in their attack and defense that they were mirrored. So the X-Wing got 3 attack dice and 2 agility, while the TIE Advanced had 2 attack dice and 3 agility. And the X-Wing really won that trade because red dice are just so much better than green dice, or at least a little bit better, and that's enough.
Yeah, and that was a huge factor early on, especially since we had to wait a long time before we saw the TIE X-1 title and Advanced Targeting Computer early on in the game's history, because these are both Wave 1 ships. Having red dice, which are more reliable, was way more important than having green dice, especially in an era where defensive modification was a lot harder to come across compared to offensive modification.
Absolutely. I mean, and you know, if you have an X-Wing and TIE Advanced both firing each other, yeah, they're both rolling the same number of dice. But, I mean, just having that potential to do more damage with a higher red dice pool is very strong. I mean, so while both ships had the ability to completely evade the opponent's attack, if the TIE Advanced failed its green dice, it was taking a lot more damage than the X-Wing was.
And I've always maintained that the gap between 2 attack dice and 3 attack dice is huge, even probably larger than the gap between 2 defense dice and 3 defense dice, all things being equal. So yeah, having that higher damage potential meant that you could kill another 5 hit point ship in 2 shots, where pretty much at minimum it was going to take you 3 shots with the little 2 attack dice on the TIE Advanced.
An interesting difference that's separated the X-Wing and TIE Advance is their upgrade slots. X-Wings have the torpedo upgrade slot, and TIE Advance have the missile upgrade slot. And now in first edition, that missile slot, I think, was a big advantage for the TIE Advance. I'm of the opinion that in first edition, missiles are better than torpedoes, and have always been better.
Right. Missiles have always had a great diversity of options to choose from, and just in general, they were just more accurate ways to deal damage there, especially as the game progressed and we started to see things like cruise missiles or harpoon missiles. They were just a way more efficient way to put out damage and way more valuable an investment compared to things like proton torpedoes.
Absolutely. And then, you know, toward the end of first edition, missiles got way better. You got cruise missiles, then got harpoon missiles, because cruise missiles apparently weren't good enough. And, you know, when you still see TIE Advance on the table these days, it's because they're carrying those great missiles. Or because Darth Vader has very high pilot skill.
In first edition, I think, though, the one area that the TIE Advance was clearly the winner was in its mobility options. Not so much its dial, because its dial's not amazing. It's kind of suffered from being one of the first generation dials. But just having access to that barrel roll is so vitally important, and we learned that over the course of X-Wing history. Of course, the classic T-65 in first edition didn't have a barrel roll option, and that's why now in second edition, the developers have learned the importance of having those reposition options so that we see the new X-Wing does have a barrel roll and has access to boost actions too with the S-Foils card.
Yeah, I mean, at the time of the launch of first edition, you know, just having that barrel roll action was so great. I mean, that was the whole Imperial advantage, was they had the repositioning actions that the Rebels didn't. You know, since then, more repositioning actions were added to the game. And, you know, the TIE Advance did commonly use the engine upgrade to get more mobility because Darth Vader had great action efficiency. And it was a ship that really did appreciate being able to barrel roll and boost. And especially when you're using those advanced targeting computers and you want to track your one target, repositioning is very important.
At first edition progressed, I think we did get to a point where the TIE Advance did become clearly better than the X-Wing. But by the time we had reached that point, it really didn't matter anymore because the X-Wing had long been irrelevant, at least the T-65 X-Wing had. And really the only TIE Advance you were seeing competitively was Darth Vader. And most of that was due to Darth Vader's amazing pilot skill value and amazing pilot ability.
Right, absolutely. So with first edition, TIE Advance not looking great. Hopefully it makes a turn here in second edition. So how is the TIE Advance improving?
Well, like we mentioned before, a lot of those elements that were developed over time were added to the TIE Advance right away. System slot, access to that advanced targeting computer. So right away, it's got some advantages over its first edition counterpart.
Absolutely. I mean, having that ship ability built in, I mean, you weren't really paying many points for it anyway the first time with the TIE Advance. But, you know, we're seeing that TIE X1 cost accounted for in the TIE Advanced second edition design. We get basically that same free upgrade with the advanced targeting computer ship ability, which is good because the X-Wings are also getting upgrades. So the TIE Advance definitely needs something to keep in line with those X-Wings.
And having that built-in advanced targeting computer does really help close the gap between the 2 attack dice and 3 attack dice problem that the ship had. Now, having the advanced targeting computer in terms of reliably putting damage out, I think is a little bit worse. Just because it necessitates the target lock, so it takes a little bit more effort to roll that extra die.
Right. I mean, so when you get to the late game where it's just your one TIE Advance versus their one X-Wing, I do think the TIE Advance does start to gain an advantage there in damage output. You acquire that target lock, and then you're rolling equal attack dice, but you do have that modification of turning a hit into a critical result, which is especially potent in the end game where people are out of shields. But it does suffer a bit in the early stage of the game, and you have to take an action to set that up and focus on a target, and your opponent really can make that difficult for you if you lock a target and then, you know, they can just have that ship fly out of combat and present threats with their other ships, make you keep switching your actions.
One nice feature, though, about the second edition advanced targeting computer is that you actually have access to spending the target lock you take in order to modify that shot. That was something you couldn't do with the advanced targeting computer card in first edition. You had to have them target lock, but you couldn't spend the target lock on the attack to add the result. So there was a balance to be struck. In first edition, you were just adding a critical result, which adding a result is an amazing feature, whether on offense or defense. So that was very reliable, but it just meant if your other dice failed you, you weren't really going to have a good chance of doing a lot of damage. In the new edition, you don't have that added result, but you are able to spend that target lock. So if your other dice aren't so good, you're going to have a way to modify them.
And another advantage of having it as a ship ability, that means that frees up the system slot for whatever other system you want to equip there, which I think does a good justice for making that TIE Advance more comparable to the X-Wing, because the X-Wings also had access to astromech droids where they could get some nice synergistic abilities going on there. And so having access to the system slot, I think, is a comparable upgrade for the TIE Advance.
Well, and we know already that there are a lot of fantastic options for system upgrades that are going to go great on the TIE Advance. You've got things like fire control system, which lets you reroll an attack dice on a ship you have target locked without spending the target lock. So that's some way, since you want to keep those target locks anyway, you have an option there to get some modification just by having them.
Yeah, I think that one's going to be your go-to, but advanced sensors does also sound appealing.
One area the TIE Advanced is going to suffer in second edition is in the ordnance upgrade slots. It's still got access to that missile slot, but we don't really see any options there that are nearly as good as the great missile options we saw in first edition.
Right. It seems like missiles and torpedoes have sort of flip-flopped in their power level going from first edition to second edition. Torpedoes just being able to roll four attack dice pretty consistently seems very powerful in second edition, whereas missiles seem to go much more for a volume of three dice attacks. You do still have proton rockets, which can roll a large dice pool, but you have to set that up in your bullseye arc, which seems a little bit more difficult.
And obviously, this is something that will change over time as second edition develops and we see more upgrades and more missile cards released. So since we're categorizing whole slots here, you know, we got to take this all with a grain of salt. We could see releases even early on in the game's history that could change this dynamic where missiles could become better than torpedoes. But right from the start, it looks like the proton torpedoes is going to be probably your best ordnance option. And that means the X-Wing's going to have that little bit of advantage over the TIE Advanced.
I mean, so in general, it seems like a lot of things are pretty mirrored here. We have, you know, comparable damage output, three attack dice when we include the ship ability, comparable upgrades. I mean, missiles are maybe not as good as torpedoes. And then we also have the system slot compared to the X-Wing's astromech slot. But I think the biggest dividing difference here is going to be the ship's survivability. So X-Wings have six hit points backed up by two green dice, whereas the TIE Advance have five hit points backed up by three green dice. And I think a lot of first edition players are going to think that the three green dice is going to be superior here. But when we couple that with the change in the upgrade bar, I'm not that excited about the three green dice. Losing that evade action is huge. And three green dice without any green tokens is really not that great. Not anything impressive. I'd rather have an extra hit point.
And we've seen across the board that action efficiency has gone down quite a bit. There's a lot fewer ways to stack multiple tokens or multiple actions. And really just a handful of ships have the ability to get both a focus and evade action, which I think is really important for the survivability of these lower hit point, higher agility ships. Having just a focus token to spend on defense is not going to help you. We know green dice are less reliable than red dice. They've got more blanks. So even having a focus token, if you generate just a couple blanks on your defense rolls, on average, you're going to be taking a lot of damage. And those TIE Advance could disappear real quick.
I mean, so with that TIE Advance, you want to be taking that focus action basically every turn to make those green dice work for you as much as possible. But your chance of evading, you know, a complete attack is not that great. And so those five hit points are going to go a lot quicker when your green dice aren't backed up by focus and evade. You're just going to have that one focus token. It's going to feel very different for the survivability of the TIE Advance.
Well, and having to take that focus token every turn is going to be painful too, because eventually you do need to take that target lock so you can start triggering your ship abilities and getting more reliable offense. But that'll leave you vulnerable for a turn when you have to take that target lock.
I mean, there is an interesting design there where that focus does link into the barrel roll. So, you know, you can be mobile and dodge arc or set up key shots and still keep your shields up per se. But when you do want to set up that advanced target computer, which you do because three attack dice is good, you're putting the shields down for a turn. And that is a scary place to be. Your opponent can really capitalize on that if they know what they're doing.
I think overall we're seeing generally a lot of improvements to the TIE Advance, though there's these really big concern areas like the lack of an evade that are going to be worrisome. I think the real determining factor here is, and we pretty much have to say this every week, is seeing what the point cost is compared to the other ships in this game. So we know in first edition they made the TIE Advance basically the parallel Imperial ship to the X-Wing and the Rebellion, and they had point costs that reflected that. now that we've seen a lot of improvements to the T-65 X-Wing, and we've seen some improvements to the TIE Advance, the point differential here, I think, is going to be really important. Because in general, even though we see all these advances, I think you need this ship to be a little less expensive than the T-65.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and here we are comparing it to the T-65, which in second edition, that looks like the ship to beat. The T-65 looks very good. It's gotten a lot of improvements going from first edition into second edition. So, you know, saying the TIE Advance doesn't look points for points as good as the X-Wing, just know that we're comparing it to the what looks like the best of the best of second edition. But we do know in first edition, these ships were costed the same. And so, you know, assuming they're costed the same, the TIE Advance does not look as strong. But if it is, you know, a decent amount cheaper, I think there is some utility in this TIE Advance.
So let's dive into the TIE Advance pilots. We only know about just about a handful here of these pilots for second edition, but we've got some very familiar pilot abilities in most cases. We've got two generics, of course, an Initiative 2 and an Initiative 3. We don't have any point cost yet, so not much to say about those guys at this moment. But we do have a couple named pilots bearing some either similar names or similar abilities to what we've seen.
Yeah, I will just say for the generics, I would have liked to see an Initiative 4 let the TIE Advance leverage its barrel roll a bit more over other ships. But it seems like it's going to be tied with all the other generics. Also at Initiative 3, we do have Zertix Storm.
Yeah, Zertix's pilot ability reads, during the end phase, you may spend a lock you have on an enemy ship to expose one of that ship's damage cards.
This is a pretty solid ability that we did see in first edition, and it's an ability that synergizes well with both the requirement of the advanced targeting computer having a target lock on an opposing ship, and also the effect you get from advanced targeting computer. You know, dealing more critical results means you know what damage cards your opponent does have. And a lot of the second edition cards do flip on resolution. So the direct hit card deals another damage card, and then you flip it face down.
So that's an area where you could deal the same direct hit multiple times. I think it also opens up some cool control synergy, right? Where if you get one of those, you know, more movement affecting damage cards, but it gets flipped over, if your opponent only has the one damage card, you're not going to be exposing them randomly, right? You're going to know which one's going to flip over and over again. So if it's something like a blinded pilot that they have to force down to increase their attack effectiveness, you get almost kind of a mild control effect here from Zertix Storm.
Yeah, I mean, in this ability, while it works great just with the TIE Advance in general, it's also going to work fine, you know, pairing it with some other TIE fighters. Because Zertix is at a low initiative, you could have a bunch of black squadron aces who could, you know, deal out some initial damage, and then, you know, if Zertix doesn't finish them off at the end of the turn, just flip up one of those damage cards. That might do the trick, or at least put them in a worse position.
Amongst the TIE Advance pilots we have, Zertix, not my favorite exactly. A little too low on the initiative front, and I think that ability is cool, but it's a little too volatile for me. I do like the other pilot abilities, though, that we're seeing on these TIE Advances. Over at Initiative 4, we have Ved Foslow.
Ved's ability reads, while you execute a maneuver, you may execute a maneuver of the same bearing and difficulty of a speed one higher or lower instead. So this is going to look a lot like Juno Eclipse's ability, which is a great modification of that TIE Advance dial.
Yeah, so you're at a relatively high initiative here, Initiative 4, which is on the higher half of available initiatives, and you have an ability that's going to be very reactive. So if you're facing off against a bunch of lower initiative generics, being able to change the speed of your maneuver can have a pretty substantial effect, especially if you're doing something like a Talon roll or a K-turn.
Yeah, I mean, and Ved Foslow is not really where I want to be on week one of second edition, where I think a lot of people are going to be flying those high initiative force users because they look like a lot of fun. But if the meta does get to a place where we're seeing a lot of generics, being an initiative four, being above all the generics, this ability is going to look very powerful. I mean, so you dial in a two turn with Ved, and, you know, the TIE Advance doesn't even have a one turn, but you can adjust that two turn to a one speed turn, which is pretty powerful, or, you know, go up to a three turn. Having that variation in speed there is going to enable you to put your ship in the right position, especially still having barrel roll for repositioning. That is a lot of leverage in repositioning there.
yeah, these reactive abilities, especially at these kind of mid to higher initiatives, I think are going to be very important as the metagame develops. It's going to be a ship that you really want to run adapting to the metagame and not in week one, like you're saying.
Right. I mean, looking back at first edition, we had Countess Riad, which had a very similar type pilot ability, but a very low pilot skill. And that ship was effective not because that ability really worked well at a low pilot skill, but because just that chassis was so strong that having an extra repositioning ability on top of that compounded really nicely. I don't think that TIE Advanced is a solid enough chassis to make Ved Fulso and auto include in any TIE Advanced selection, but I think in the right meta, Ved can still be a pretty great choice. You just have to be very conscious of what initiative you expect.
Climbing up the initiatives, though, we have the Initiative 5, Merrick Steele, returning from first edition with a very similar, if not pretty much identical, pilot ability. Merrick's ability reads, while you perform an attack, if the defender would be dealt a face-up damage card, instead draw 3 damage cards, choose 1, and discard the rest.
Right. I mean, this is Merrick's go-to pilot ability, and it's great to see that that's held true for second edition. It's a great pilot ability, and it also pairs great with that advanced targeting computer, making it much easier to deal critical results. I mean, so this seems very strong. Initiative 5 is a great place to be.
Yeah, Merrick's up there with a lot of great ships like Dash Rendar.
Well, don't call Dash a great ship, but he's, you know, comparable to Luke Skywalker, old Tarok, some great pilots.
And with, you know, a pretty good dial and that barrel roll repositioning action, he's going to do a pretty good job at Initiative 5. And having that added effect there where your critical damage is a little bit more effective is, I think, going to be a pretty powerful synergy on this ship, just built right in.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some crits you really don't want dealt to your ship. And so having that ability to select just the right crit for the right moment is a very strong ability. My really only issue with Merrick is that he lives in the shadow of Vader.
Yeah, I think Vader's the clear winner here. We've talked about Vader before, but Vader comes in at Initiative 6, has a force rating of 3, and an amazing pilot ability. After you perform an action, you may spend 1 force charge to perform an action.
Right, so here, Vader is getting around a lot of the issues I have with the TIE Advance. With just a very simple pilot ability, but really, it's also having that force charge.
Yeah, having that force charge rating is amazing. Any ship, even with just a force charge rating of 1, has a pretty clear advantage against equivalent ships otherwise. And having that force rating of 3, which is the highest end you can have on a ship, is amazing. He can use those charges to get extra action, so he can get both a focus and a target lock in the same turn, or a focus, target lock, and barrel roll in the same turn, and still have a force charge left over. And you can use them just to modify your dice. If you're just going to take that target lock action, you still have focus modification even without a focus token.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you nailed it all right there. Now, the first weakness of the TIE Advance is it needs to take that target lock action to set up the attacks, which means it's not taking the focus action to defend itself. Well, Vader can take the target lock action and then either sit on his 3 force charges for defense or offense if needed. He's got enough force charges for both. Or you can spend one of those force charges and get a focus linked into a barrel roll. So there you get the target lock and the focus and a repositioning action to make sure you get that good attack or dodge some arcs. And then you still have a focus token and 2 force charges for defense or offense. Having those force charges makes the 3 green dice of the TIE Advance just so much more substantial. That's an actual defensive plan there. Whereas all of your other TIE Advance pilots, they have a time. They're not going to last that whole game when you just don't have the modifications to back up those 3 green dice.
Yeah, with 3 force charges and Initiative 6, Vader's going to be an amazing late-game ship and definitely the biggest threat the Empire's bringing in Wave 1 of 2nd Edition.
Now, I do hope Vader does cost significantly more than the rest of the TIE Advance pilots. I mean, because otherwise, it's not really a decision. You just always take Darth Vader. And, you know, I'm pretty happy that Darth Vader is in a very powerful spot, but you do want to have some choices. You want to make it a decision on whether or not you take Darth Vader or hopefully a substantially cheaper Merrick Steele as more of a budget ace option. Continuing with their standard, Fantasy Flight has been very withholding in their points for all of these second edition ships. So, you know, we're still just forced to speculate. But I'm really hoping that there's a big jump between Darth Vader and Merrick. And also hoping just the TIE Advance in general is cheaper than the X-Wing.
Well, with Gen Con just a week away, we're hoping we'll get some more information on all these little details then. For sure, we'll get to know them when X-Wing 2nd Edition launches on September 13th. So until then, we've got some reasons here to be excited about the TIE Advanced. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/radiotcx and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy listening to the show, please go onto iTunes and leave us a 5-star review, along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast and why others would be interested in listening.
And if you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radiotcx and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means so much to us.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you guys are going to be at Gen Con, I'll be roaming around the convention at some point there and demoing some games for some companies. So if you see me, be sure to come up and say hi. I'd love to talk to you guys about X-Wing or about board games or whatever. So hopefully I'll have my Radio TCX shirt on most of the time.
Till then, we'll talk to you next week.